All right, welcome in, everybody. Patriots-Colts preview here on the Guy Boston Sports Channel. We had to do it. I promised Brandon Daniels that I'd have him on, resident Colts fan over at Guy Boston Sports, to talk about this ahead of the matchup. Brandon, thanks for coming on the stream.
Of course, dude. You know, I know maybe there are a lot of people that might think, well, why is, you know, why am I part of Guy Boston Sports and why am I a Colts fan? It doesn't add up, but we're going to roll with it, all right, because we have a great matchup coming up this weekend, and I'm very excited to talk about it.
Hey, you know, we talk about all kinds of things at Guy Boston Sports. It's a growing brand. That's you know, true. It doesn't need to just be Boston, but obviously you're a Celtics fan too, so that helps. But it helps for this matchup too, because Patriots-Colts this week, and honestly, it's going to be one of the, I think it, going into it, it's kind of a really underrated matchup, because when you look at kind of the AFC landscape, as we talk about, you know, the playoff picture and we get into all that stuff, like last week really put things in a state in the AFC where, like, there are 10 teams right now, 10 teams at the top of the AFC within two games of each other. So it's really like anyone's AFC. Like, the Colts could be the one seed by the end of all this. The last few weeks are going to be absolutely insane. And I don't think people realize the kinds of implications that this matchup could have on the entire landscape across the AFC come playoff time.
I mean, you said it, there's 10 teams, and then you could even add in the Steelers, who I don't think anyone are expecting to make a playoff run or a playoff push. They're a half game back, so I mean, they're 2.5 games back. Then you look at the Raiders and the Dolphins, they're 3 games back. I mean, it's a packed conference, and I am very, very nervous as a Colts fan, because right now the Colts are sitting at 6. They got lucky to see the Bengals lose, and they got lucky to see the Bills lose, both of them on crazy games this past weekend. But I mean, there's talented teams on the outside as well. I mean, the Browns are still there at 7-6, the Bengals are there at 7-6, and the Broncos have kind of just been hanging around for a really long time. And that's not even to mention the Bills, who are also in at on the seventh spot, also at 7-6. So as a Colts fan, I am extremely nervous for what's to come over the last few weeks, because it is incredibly important for the Colts to win this weekend against the Patriots, and hopefully that gets some momentum going forward as they try to make a playoff push.
Yeah, and a lot of these teams, like, look good. Like, you mentioned, like, the Dolphins, for example. Like, the Dolphins are one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. And the Broncos are playing a lot better, and we know they're motivated by, you know, the loss of Demaryius Thomas, and that could fuel the team to go on some sort of miraculous run here. Like, there's so many factors at play. The Bills falling back. Like, could they even be in danger of missing the playoffs now? So this game, at the end of the day, like, it could come down to a tiebreaker between these two teams for a spot for, who knows, the wild card, or if the Colts are able to catch the Titans, maybe, you know, one of the top seeds, maybe even the bye. I don't know if that's even in play with how hot the Chiefs are, if they're just going to end up running away with it. Like, there's so many crazy things. And I think people kind of brush this matchup off and say, yeah, it's the Colts, like, they're pretty good. And the Patriots, like, yeah, they're, you know, technically the top seed in the AFC right now, but everybody thinks the Chiefs are better and this and that. And it's like, no, this is genuinely a matchup between not only two of the best teams in the AFC, but I think two of the most structurally sound, well-coached teams in the AFC, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I noticed pretty apparent early in the season for the Patriots. Obviously, they started in a little bit of a hole, as with the Colts, but you could tell as the season progressed, as Mac Jones got more comfortable in his offense and as Carson Wentz got more comfortable in his offense, both teams looked really, really good. And the common denominator is they also have a really good defense on the other side of the ball. These two teams are solid on offense. They know what they have to do. They're not flashy. They get the job done. And on defense, they are ball hawks. They get after the ball. They force turnovers. Both of these teams are kind of boring to watch, but they are structurally sound, like you said, and they're dangerous in this conference to make a huge push deep into the postseason.
Absolutely. And I mean, we mentioned kind of them both being well coached. I mean, you mentioned the defenses and everything like that. And it was something I kind of wanted to get to later, but we can talk about it a little bit now, like the Bill Belichick versus Frank Reich matchup. And I know that, you know, Doug Peterson was the coach of the Eagles during that Super Bowl, but like in hindsight, after what happened to Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, a lot of people credit Frank Reich for that Super Bowl win against Bill Belichick and what his offense was able to do against the Bill Belichick coach defense. And I wonder how that's going to impact this game. I wonder how big of a storyline it is. It is just like the game itself. I think this should be a bigger storyline. Like, I think Frank Reich versus Bill Belichick is, in the NFL, about as good of a coaching matchup as you're going to get. Like, that's top tier kind of stuff. And when it comes to Bill Belichick, anytime the Patriots are playing, like, he's the marquee guy, right? His name's always on the marquee. He's the biggest draw. The most interesting thing about the Patriots is Bill Belichick. So if you're selling this game, to me, it starts there with those two.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Frank Reich was instrumental in that Super Bowl victory. And you saw it a couple years ago with the Eagles, and you can see it now with the Colts. The reason why he's so successful is he just lets his players go, and that's so important in today's NFL. He let Carson Wentz go, and that was why he was so successful in Philadelphia. I mean, he was an MVP candidate in 2017, had a good season the following year in 2018. Obviously, Frank had left at that point. But you look at Nick Foles as well during that Super Bowl run. Nick Foles is primarily a guy who just wants to let it rip. And he did exactly that against Bill Belichick and ended up winning that game. And you look at Frank now with the Colts, and he's letting Jonathan Taylor run all over the place. He's letting Carson Wentz rip off a couple long plays. I mean, Frank is a really talented coach. He understands the game of football, obviously, as a former player. He understands this game. But for Frank Reich to kind of shift into a different perspective, this is kind of the defining moment in his career. I think he's shown flashes as a head coach that he has potential to be a really good coach in this game. I mean, he's built this culture in Indianapolis that I think is top tier. Apart from whatever Belichick's been building over the last 20 years, obviously that's one of the greatest culture spots in all of sports in the last 20 years. No doubt about that. Frank has built this culture in Indianapolis that I think a lot of teams are starting to realize is the way to go in the NFL. You know, he's aggressive on offense and on defense. And, you know, I think those are great building blocks, and it's great signs of potential for Reich, but he doesn't really have a marquee win. And I think beating Bill Belichick this weekend could be that for him.
Oh, man, it's Gear. I see it's Gear in the chat already saying what's up. And he loves the graphic, courtesy of Ev Singleton. Obviously, we know we love Ev for doing this graphic for us. Patrick bringing up a point that we're going to get to, might as well get to it now. Obviously it's in the title, saying, why do people keep talking crap about Mac Jones, the hate is real, all this stuff. And we'll talk about it. The fact that, Bobby Okereke, did I say this the second time? it's a little bit tricky, but Bobby Okereke, for the Colts, a linebacker, a very talented young linebacker for the Colts. And he came out and he said that they were going to try to make Mac Jones, basically they were going to make Mac Jones beat him. They were going to try to make him be one-dimensional, essentially responding to the fact that Mac Jones threw three passes last time, right? It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to decode what Bobby Okereke was trying to say. He was trying to say, we're going to try to make Mac Jones throw the football instead of, how about just run it 42 times and only have to throw three passes. So he, for all intents and purposes, called out Mac Jones and said, we're going to see if this guy can beat us. He even said that second part, we're going to see what he can do. It was another part of his comment. So doesn't sound like the Colts defense, or at least one member of the Colts defense, thinks very highly of Mac Jones right now.
I think the problem with what Bobby Okereke said for the Colts side of things is, you know, as soon as that came out anywhere on the internet, that's going right up on the Patriots bulletin board. Someone's putting that there, whether it be Josh McDaniels, whether it be Bill Belichick, that's going right up on the Patriots bulletin board. And that is going to be their big key to say, all right, if they don't think Mac Jones can beat us, we're going to make sure that we prove it to him. Now, I mean, I don't think it was a bold statement by Okereke, though. I think that's the thought of a lot of people, that if the Colts are going to try to win this game, they're going to have to make Mac Jones beat him, because the Bills have a really good run defense and the Patriots ran all over him. So if you want to look at two sides of the offense, the pass and the run, I mean, if I'm Matt Eberflus, or I'm Frank Reich, I'd rather see Jones throw the ball than see this Patriots.
Do the Colts have a really, or do the Bills have a really good run defense though? Like, you saw what the Colts did to him. Like, I mean, it's the Jonathan Taylor kind of helped that. I mean, I know we're talking about Jonathan Taylor here, but like, you know, it's like, was it a little bit fake their run defenses at this point? Like, it certainly made it feel like that with a few of their more recent losses.
That's definitely true. I'm not going to discount that. whether or not the Bills actually prove to be a consistent run defense team, I don't really know. I mean, they, again, maybe it's the weak schedule, but I still think their defensive line and their front seven has proved enough this season that maybe they got at least a competent defense, run defense. That's up in the air. I mean, Jonathan Taylor ran all over him. The Patriots had over 200 on the ground. And I don't know. I think the biggest thing, and I can compare these two teams right off the bat, because if you look at Mac Jones, there hasn't been many games where he's had a high volume of passes. I mean, he's maybe had one or two, and the same thing goes for Carson Wentz, who looks very, very good when he only throws the ball 20 times because they hand it off to Jonathan Taylor and they get the win. The more that Carson Wentz starts to throw the ball, the more mistakes happen. So maybe Bobby's looking at this like, well, I mean, I love Carson Wentz, but I mean, Mac Jones is pretty similar to Carson in the fact that that's not really the focal point of the offense. So let's see what Mac Jones can do. We've never really seen him throw 30, 40 passes in a game against a team with a stout defense like the Colts have.
Well, you know, and this was something I wanted to touch on, because I feel like after that last game, a lot of people had been quick to say, you know, what you know, Bobby Okereke is kind of saying, and I know that other people around the league are saying, like the Patriots, well, it's convenient when, you know, Mac Jones can just pass three times, and they, you know, Patriots passing game problems and all this. Like, people have been quick to criticize them. To me, it's a little bit of recency bias, because it wasn't that long ago that the Patriots put up 45 points against Cleveland and Mac Jones had three touchdowns, and like people fail to like recognize his completion percentage and like the other statistics he put up throughout the season. Like, it's not like he's going out there every week and throwing three passes. Like, he threw three passes against the Bills because like a monsoon was going on. Like, what, you know, it was the right game plan, and they won, you know, they won. So I think that there's like this notion that Mac Jones doesn't throw the football, or he's not good at throwing the football. It's like, based on one game, really. I mean, the rest of the season, he's been good. Like, I'm not going to say the Patriots haven't been led by their running game, because I think that that has been there to an extent. But Mac Jones has had games, like against the Browns, where he's proven to be at a high-level passer, and he's shown an ability to do so. So in my mind, like, if the Colts are going to load up against the run and commit to saying the Patriots aren't going to run on us, they're not going to beat us like they beat the Bills, and we're going to make Mac Jones beat us, I think Mac Jones has proven that he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think, the thing about Mac Jones, and I think the reason, like you said, it's a recency bias thing. And I think a lot of people forget what he did against Cleveland, where he absolutely torched that defense.
And I think Cleveland, one of the best passing defenses in the league, by the way, especially exactly. Going into that game. Like, their defense was playing exactly. Incredible.
And I think, I mean, look, I don't know what Bobby Okereke's thinking, because honestly, again, if I'm Matt Eberflus, I don't want him saying anything close to that. I don't want that out at all, because that's a bad look for a team that has historically not really had any trash talk going around in that locker room. That's not good to have when you're going up against Bill Belichick, who will out-scheme you every single week, and against a rookie quarterback who has proven his worth as a passer.
Right. And like a lot, by the way, a lot of, you know, history between the Colts and the Patriots, not many of the same players besides Bill Belichick in that battle in the back and forth. Let's not talk about that. But I will say that, you know, the idea of giving the Patriots bulletin more material and all this stuff, like, this has been a thing for quite a long time that you don't do that, right? Like, that's the number one rule, that you don't do that. And you knew, like you mentioned it earlier, that as soon as Bill Belichick hears that, like, I mean, Christmas came early for Bill Belichick. Like, Bobby Okereke just gifted him, all right, my team's riding high, we're on a big winning streak, how do I keep him motivated? Oh, what did Bobby Okereke say about Mac Jones this week? Oh, okay. Hey, Mac, it looks like they don't believe in you guys. Hey, Kendrick Bourne, Los Aguilar, whatever. Looks like he doesn't believe much in the passing game. You know, let's see. Like, Hunter Henry, maybe that's going to be a matchup we're going to see during the game. Okereke guarding Hunter Henry, I don't know, maybe at times. And that could be turn into an interesting night. Well, maybe Jonnu Smith, who knows? You know, the Patriots have two nice tight ends, but they can use in the passing game. But I think that's going to be an element to this game that the Colts just didn't need to put out there for the Patriots, because, you know, there's nobody better in the league at taking advantage of that than a Bill Belichick coach team. Like, I remember people used to talk when the Patriots and Tom Brady was here and they were winning all the time. Like, they to stay motivated, they had to take any and every little comment as the biggest slight in the world to keep themselves motivated to keep winning. And they would do that, and people would, you know, so to some extent find it ridiculous. And like on the surface of it, Bobby Okereke didn't say much. Like when you read between the lines, it looks a little worse, but his comment itself wasn't, you know, he said Mac Jones was good. Like the guy asked, how does Mac Jones compare to the rest of the rookie quarterbacks he played? And he said, he's good. Mac Jones is good. You know, but this and that, and he spoke a little bit too much. He should have just stopped after he's good. But you know, the Patriots have been so good. There's been no better team over the past 15 years at taking any little thing you say and give them as the motivation to beat you. And Bobby Okereke shouldn't have opened up that door for himself.
And here's the thing. I'm a Colts fan, but I'm also extremely logical. This team hasn't beaten the Patriots in 12 years. The last time they beat the Patriots was in 2009. That was a long time ago. We went through a lot of quarterbacks in that span of time. We've been through a lot of teams. We've been through a lot of head coaches. There's been a lot of turnover in the Indianapolis Colts organization since the last time they beat the Patriots. So, Bobby, I know you're kind of young, all right? I know you've only been in the league for a couple of years. But you need to know your history.
You know,
you had to have watched football. You had to have watched the Colts play the Patriots, and every single time the Colts end up with a loss, at least in the last 10-plus years. I mean, look, it's not even like those losses are bad. The losses are kind of embarrassing, okay? And if you give Bill Belichick any more reason to make you embarrassed, that's not a good look. I'm sorry. And I'm not excited for what Bill Belichick's going to do to this team, but I am still excited that the Colts team at least can match up well with the Patriots on most phases of football. So the matchup's going to be good, but I'm scared of what Bill Belichick's going to pull out of his system, pull out of whatever this weekend. All right. I see you already in the chat, 4th and 2. It was a long time ago. It was a really long time ago, and that was controversial too, okay?
And you could argue that, you know, maybe the Colts, I'm not going to say shouldn't have won that game because, you know, obviously that it was the Patriots' own fault to an extent, but could have easily lost that game too. I mean, that one came right down to the wire. The fact that it was that, I almost can't believe that it was that long ago that the Colts had, 2009, that is tough sledding. And the Colts haven't been the Colts haven't been bad. I mean, they had one year where they were really bad, but besides that, like, they've been a good to above average football team. But man, it's just, wow.
I mean,
12 years now, 12 years since their last been century.
Embarrassing. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's 2014. Exactly. 4th and 2 was the last time. There was the 2014 AFC Championship, which I don't even want to talk about that. That was a loss, put it that way. That was a big loss. And then, of course, you know, all I'm going to say, I'm not going to be sarcastic whatsoever. No sarcasm whatsoever right here. You know, if the Colts dialed up their fake punt right, they could have won that game too. But, you know, we didn't dial up the fake punt right. So, you know, all right, yeah, luck never beat the Colts. Yeah, so it's been rough for this Colts team. We'll put it that way.
I think this means it's like Kevin Falk, but Prince D saying Kevin Falk got those 2 yards. If we had the right replay, maybe we could have determined that, but
maybe.
It's Gear saying we seem to always see a good trick play from McDaniels after bye weeks, maybe a Jonnu Smith play this week. there was one trick play that they ran to Jonnu Smith. It was a little flea flicker. I don't even know if you call it, I guess it was more, I don't know. What do you call it? A flea flicker? I think it was a little screen pass out to, I want to say James White, and then he threw it back all the way across field to Mac Jones. And it was like he had Nelson Aguilar deep, and he threw it kind of short to Jonnu Smith. So something like that. Like, I don't know. We haven't seen trick plays in a few weeks, but it's not like we usually see a trick play a week. Like, that was very odd that how often it was happening for the Patriots early on. So I don't know what's gear. Maybe, if they need to pull out at some point to beat the Colts, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, and I think, you know, to what we've mentioned before about the Patriots and Mac Jones proving himself, this could be, if he's able to pull it off, maybe his best win. I mean, honestly, when you look at what he did against the Bills, sure, he beat the Bills. He went into Buffalo, beat the Bills. Congratulations. But, you know, yeah, it wasn't totally about him. So for the Patriots, you could say maybe that's their best win. That's Bill Belichick's best win of the season. But Mac Jones's best win, like, you might say no. Like, he beat the Browns, and that was a blowout. And again, that was a good one. But who's better right now, the Browns or the Colts? think you'd say the Colts. And, you know, he had two other tests where he could have done it, but he lost to the Cowboys and he lost to the Buccaneers. So if Mac Jones wins this game, I would say this game or the Chargers game, like, you could argue one of those two would go down as his best win so far this season.
I think with the stage that we're at right now, with the Patriots being in first, with everybody doubting Mac Jones and how he can't pass the football, walking into a primetime football game against a team who's probably doesn't play like their record at this point. They've been extremely hot since starting 1-4, the Colts have. To walk into a primetime football game away and come out with a win, I think in any capacity, whether he throws three passes or 30, might be one of his best wins of his career. And I think it has the competition, and it can definitely be up there as the best win of his career, I think.
It does occur to me now with the framing of this, actually, that I guess I should change this. I should flip this so we got.
The Dalvin Cook love is definitely good, but you gotta have Brady.
Yeah, you know, I Dalvin Cook is I got a lot of respect for Dalvin Cook, but we'll get to talk about later, you know, because I know he's doing. Anyway, back to the Patriots Colts stuff. I saw some comments before that I wanted to respond to when our discussion about Frank Reich. Patrick was bringing up saying that Bill beat Frank in Buffalo in 1990 Super Bowl when he was with the Giants. Okay, I mean, fair point. Like, I don't really, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that being a point. I think maybe you're just joking there, Patrick. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But saying his team beat us in one of nine Super Bowls, Bill's probably not thinking about it too much. I disagree with that. Like, I don't care how many you've won. Anytime you lose a Super Bowl, it's going to irk you. Like, you want to tell me that? I mean, look at Tom Brady, the man in the arena, talking about the 2007 Super Bowl, right? Like, he's still annoyed by that. And I guarantee you, exactly, Bill Belichick is still annoyed by that Eagles Super Bowl, because you could argue it was one of his greatest failures. Like, honestly, the 2011 loss to the Giants, I think actually that could be viewed as a great success, because that defense was terrible. The fact that they got to the Super Bowl at all that year was disbelief. A lot of people were in disbelief that they got there. Okay, 2007, it has to be number one. I understand that. But the loss to the Eagles, like, that was all on Belichick. It was all on his defense. And Frank Reich is the man responsible as the offensive coordinator for shredding them up. So to me, like, I don't think dismissing it as like, well, he beat you once. Like, yeah, on the NFL's biggest stage and a game you really should have won and a game that Bill Belichick got ripped for. And Prince D saying the same, like, something to the same thing below, saying, if Malcolm Butler starts, Patriots win, giving Frank White way too much credit. Like, if Malcolm Butler starts, the Patriots probably win. I'll agree with that. The Colts still put up, the Eagles still put up, what, like 36 points?
Nick Foles, I think it was 42. How many
passing yards? Like, I don't care. If Malcolm Butler starts and Nick Foles, you want to tell me Nick Foles throws for less yards? Fine. They still shredded you up. And, you know, it was the man responsible for that was Frank Reich. So I don't really buy into this notion that, oh, well, you know, if Malcolm Butler started, or, you know, you're giving Frank Reich too much credit. You're not. Like, his offense still did incredible. And Malcolm Butler starting, like, you wouldn't have held them to zero if Malcolm Butler starts. There was a lot of other factors in that game that led to them having the offensive output they did. You can't put Malcolm Butler on everybody. He can only guard one guy. They, you know, they were throwing to Corey Clement, touchdown to Corey Clement, for goodness sake. So, I think that saying you're giving Frank Reich too much credit is actually wrong. I think that it's been proven that Doug Peterson, not exactly a mastermind, but Frank Reich's had a really nice start to his coaching career with the Colts here. And I think that the credit has shifted to him for that Super Bowl, and I think it's well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing in the chat now, Brady broke the playoff passing record that game. I mean, he threw for 505 and three touchdowns, no picks. And Brady had a fantastic game. And Nick Foles, I'm reading it right now, 373, three touchdowns and a pick. I mean, Nick Foles went step for step with the greatest player to ever play the game and ended up winning the game 41-33. I mean,
and was that like all about Nick Foles? Like, no,
it can't just be about Nick Foles.
It was Frank Reich. A lot of it was.
And I mean, great for Nick Foles. I think he had a fantastic game. His playoff run and everything that he did to step in for Carson Wentz that year was absolutely fantastic. And I mean, they were counted out as soon as they got in the playoffs that year. I mean, they almost lost in their first game, but they obviously turned it on. They wrecked the Vikings the round beforehand and then took out the dynasty that is the Patriots. And I mean, even Brady says it to this day that that's the Super Bowl that hurts him. That's the one that really makes him cringe. And he said it multiple times, obviously 2007, different story, but as of recent years, this has been the one that sticks with Brady, and it's got to be the same with Bill Belichick as well.
Yeah, and it always hurts when you lose a Super Bowl. And I imagine Bill Belichick's not going to have a good time seeing Frank Reich across that sideline. I genuinely think it's going to be a great coaching matchup, and I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. Speaking of the Eagles team, the injured quarterback from that team, Carson Wentz, I know you mentioned him earlier, and you mentioned, you know, when the Colts have to put it in the air with Carson Wentz, it's a little iffy. But you know, looking at the numbers, like I would have agreed with you, because I remember, like, we were joking about it even earlier in the season. Like, what was the game that he kind of blew at the end for the Colts? It was one of those games where he put the ball in the air a couple times, and I think they got picked off, but it was just ugly. Which one of those games was
multiple times? It's been multiple times. The one that really stands out was against the Titans when they played at home, and he had that interception that was returned for a touchdown, the pick six at the 2 yard line that was actually turned out to be a fumble.
I remember it was the game that Teddy Bruschi called him out, right? Who was that? Titans game?
I think so. And Wentz was having a good day that in the first half, and he's done this multiple times. Did it against the Bucks a couple weeks ago, where he had a good first half and then blew it. Did it against the Ravens, where they were up, you know, 16, blew that. Did it against the Titans when they were up 14, blew that. So I love Carson Wentz. I think he's great for this team. He works perfectly the way that he is put together with this roster, but he scares me the more times he throws the football.
Well, I'll say this. Like, that may be true, and you're right. There were some ugly times. There were definitely some ugly times. And we got to check in with Teddy Bruschi. We got to see what Teddy Bruschi thinks of what Bill Belichick's going to do to Carson Wentz in this game. But I will say, like, if you know, I think if you watch the games, it looks worse than obviously the statistics tell you, and that's what's more important. But his stats, like, really aren't that bad this year. And, like, maybe it's just the situation and Frank Reich's helping, and, like, obviously having Jonathan Taylor helps, who we're going to talk about in a bit. But, like, I don't think it's a stretch to say, like, Carson Wentz has been kind of a good quarterback. And for as much as we're going to credit the run game, like, what, the Colts have put up 30-plus points in, like, 6-7 of their last 8 games? Like, the Colts are a really good offense, and I mean, in any really good offense, the quarterback has to get a semblance of that credit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Carson's been playing great this year, and I think the way that you worded this to me yesterday was quietly impressive, and I think that's a great way to put it, just because no one's really talking about Carson Wentz as being a good quarterback in this league. He's not blowing anyone away on the stat sheet. He's playing well. He's got 22 touchdowns, 5 picks. 4 of which have come in the last 6 games, but that, you know, stuff happens when you got to play against the Buccaneers. But I think overall, Carson's been doing exactly what he has to do, and I think that was the biggest worry going into the season. The biggest X factor for this Colts team was, well, how well is Carson Wentz going to do? We talked about it as soon as he got signed to the team, or rather he got traded, was how good was Carson Wentz going to perform, and how was that going to help or hurt the Colts? And he's been doing exactly what he's had to do because of Jonathan Taylor being the focal point of this offense. So I still think there are a lot of better quarterbacks in the AFC. There's probably 6 or 7. I mean, obviously Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, you know, I think Justin Herbert's better than he is without a doubt. Joe Burrow has proven that he's probably better as a passer than Carson Wentz, at least this season. And I'd probably rather have Mac Jones just from what he's shown throughout this year as well. So you put Carson Wentz kind of right in the middle of the conference, and also probably right in the middle of the league in terms of how you rate quarterbacks. But that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think Carson, the biggest thing that turned around was that he's not thrown 15, 16 picks a year. He's got 5. Right. And that's exactly that's exactly why he's improved as a quarterback.
That's what's the most impressive. And I think you're right. I think he's somewhere between 11 and 16 this year. You know, I don't know how you can pick the guys how you want them, but you know, you mentioned the guys you put at the top, and then after that, it gets to a point where you say, okay, like, where do you rank Carson Wentz? And by the way, like, you mentioned Mac Jones in comparison. All right, let's, like, pull out the comparison with Mac Jones. Mac Jones has him in completion percentage, okay? So Mac Jones has the nice, you know, people call the check down, you know, the check down prince or whatever you want to call him, the check down king, the check down prince. I don't know. You know, Mac Jones throws his passes are a little shorter. So 70% completion percentage to Carson Wentz is 63. Okay, very clear. Yep, absolutely. Like, Mac Jones has him there. So get one point to Mac Jones. Carson Wentz has him in yards. He has him in touchdowns, and he has him in picks. Like, you mentioned, Mac Jones has 8 picks. Carson has 5. Carson Wentz has 22 touchdowns. Mac Jones has 16. And Carson Wentz knocking on the door 3,000 yards. And Mac Jones, you know, just about, you know, I think it's within 100. They're within 100 of each other, but Carson Wentz has the edge. So, you know, to a certain extent, you got to look at this. And I know you say, like, you probably take Mac Jones. I think that a lot of people would probably take Carson Wentz if we're just talking about for this season. You know, rookie Mac Jones or, you know, veteran to some extent, Carson Wentz. I think a lot of people might actually take Carson Wentz.
I think it'd be very interesting if you flip the script. How well would Mac Jones play under Frank Reich, and how well would Carson Wentz play under Bill Belichick? That's obviously completely hypothetical, but right. I mean, the stats do speak for in Carson Wentz's favor.
I will say to that kind of point, I think that you could make a real argument. I think it would be, I mean, I would say it was true that both might actually play worse. I think that both of these quarterbacks fit exactly the way their coaches want to play, but it's a very different style of passing and for each coach. And I know both of these teams rely on their run game a lot, but Carson's always been, you know, the big throw kind of quarterback, and Mac Jones is more the more conservative type, which makes their interception numbers kind of surprising. But, you know, nevertheless, the way it nets out is that I think that both have the exact right coach for them.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you even go back to Philadelphia between Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, the bond that they've built, I mean, from when Frank wanted to draft Carson in 2015, 2016, to now with the Colts, the way that Frank has coached his teams and the way that he, you know, coached his offense back in Philadelphia was he wasn't afraid to be aggressive with the football, and that's obviously going to have its cons and have its pros, and he let Carson do that, and that's been the case even in Indianapolis now. He's letting Carson Wentz throw the football. Does that result in some ugly losses? Sure. But Frank is very adamant on the fact that Carson Wentz is still going to be their quarterback, probably for the next season, however long that this relationship ends up going. And if you look at the other side, Mac Jones is perfect for Bill Belichick. He's the guy who wants to be able to be in a system like that. He's the guy who isn't going to make those mistakes. You look at his completion percentage, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. So to your point, we could think about the hypothetical all we want, but these two guys are there. And I know you got a little exhausted there, KJ. I know I didn't think I was talking for that long, but I think
the camera.
Yeah, you're all good. But no, like you were saying, these guys fit exactly where they are.
Yeah, they do. And I think that one of the things about you know, these two quarterbacks that's worth pointing out is, like, when you look at the passing, like, when you rank these quarterbacks out, okay, and we haven't done this, but when you rank all the quarterbacks across the league 1 to 10, you mentioned a lot of them, or 1 to 32, whatever you want to say, and you mentioned a lot of them there. I think they're, like Mac Jones and Carson Wentz, they're, like, right next to each other in the order. Mm-hmm. You know, they are so close. Like, I mentioned the statistics and how they map out. If you want to look at quarterback rating, Mac Jones is 97.0, Carson Wentz is 96.6. They're 11th and 12th in the league. And I think that's where they rank. Like, and I'm not going to exactly go by quarterback rating, but if you just want to list the best quarterbacks in the league, it's like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Rodgers, Stafford, Kyler Murray, Brady, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and I'll even give you Kirk. I'll give you Kirk because Kirk is the best of that next tier to me. Okay, I think Kirk's better than all those guys. But is there another quarterback across the league you're taking over, Mac Jones or Carson Wentz? Like, your options are, when it comes down to, like, Derek Carr or Matt Ryan or, like, Baker Mayfield, like, I honestly think it's pretty clear to me, like, if I'm doing my personal rankings, those guys are 12th and 13th, and I or whatever it ends up being, 12th, 13th, or 13th, 14th, however many I just counted off there. But it's really, really close between those two, and who knows, like, we may get a some sort of judgment on which one of those guys is better on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very, very good matchup between those two guys. Because like you said, they're pretty neck and neck. And that's the reason why I was kind of on the fence and saying, hey, maybe I'd rather have Mac Jones than Carson Wentz if I'm looking from the outside. But, I mean, I think the only guy I'd take over the two of them maybe is Derek Carr. But I don't even know about that. I think, you know, Derek Carr, the thing that I guess benefits him and the reason why his stats have been stellar for the last few years is because he just kind of rips the ball, and if it gets completed, it gets completed, and if it gets picked, it gets picked, and I think that really benefits him on the stat sheet. But I don't know. Even that's a toss-up, but this matchup could be very interesting because, again, this could be a run battle between Jonathan Taylor and then, you know, going up against Damien Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, or it could be between Carson Wentz and Mac Jones, and either of those situations are going to be extremely interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the idea for both of these coaches, you have to imagine, is make the other team pass the ball. Because they both have excellent run games. One is a two-headed monster for the Patriots. The other is a freight train with Jonathan Taylor. But I imagine both of these good coaches, and, you know, Frank Reich's more offensive-minded, so I guess maybe that's not entirely, you know, what he's controlling. But, you know, he's still the head coach of the entire team. I know that a lot of these head coaches are just like, you know, like fancy offensive coordinators like Sean McVay and all these guys, and someone else handles their defense. But, you know, for Frank Reich's perspective, I think a lot of people view him as more of a, you know, coaching the whole team kind of guy, like throwback kind of coach, which is kind of what you see Belichick as too. But everybody has their side of the ball. Point being, I think both of these teams, regardless of whose decision it is going to try to make the other pass. So it's going to be interesting to see that battle between those two guys play out and kind of figure out, you know, who's better in that scenario, and see, you know, how it bears out on the field. And Mac Jones, obviously, still very young compared to Carson Wentz, a rookie, but I don't know. It should be an excellent battle. And we mentioned Jonathan Taylor there and what he can do for the Colts. I'm interested to see the Patriots run defense against Jonathan Taylor, because they have benefited from not having to go up against a top or tier running back this season, at least off the top of my head. I mean, they dodged Derrick Henry because he was obviously injured due to a few weeks prior. And other than that, the only other really like elite running backs they've gone up against this season, I guess you could say, you know, you could throw Eckler and Kamara in there, but both of those guys are more so, you know, they're just used differently, more in the passing game. They're more passing game backs than you would say like power backs like Jonathan Taylor. So they really haven't dealt with a runner like this, unless you want to throw like Leonard Fournette in that conversation, which I really don't. I don't think Leonard Fournette's on that level, or Ezekiel Elliott, who's fallen off in the last few years. Like, this is really the guy that they faced. Like, no, they haven't faced a running back better than Jonathan Taylor this season. He's the second best running back in the league and the best healthy running back in the league right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how their defense matches up with him when, you know, yes, the Patriots have had a good defense all season. Their front seven's been great. But how do you do when push comes to shove, and not only do you have Jonathan Taylor staring you down, but you also have to deal with one of the best offensive linemen, if he's healthy. I don't know, you know, what his situation is, but I think, you know, he should be Quentin Nelson. Out there for Indianapolis as well, that's going to make things difficult for your run defense. So Jonathan Taylor gets all the love, but you can't forget about Quentin Nelson either, making things difficult. So I want to see if their run defense holds up against that level of run game, because we haven't seen that this season yet.
Yeah, and another bullet that the Patriots dodged was against Cleveland, when the top running back that Cleveland had that day was D'Ernest Johnson. And so they dodged not only Nick Chubb, but Kareem Hunt that day. But, I mean, like you said, Jonathan Taylor is a different breed, and I've had the pleasure of being able to watch him for the last two seasons. Quentin Nelson is healthy. Not only that, but Ryan Kelly is expected to finally come back after a few weeks of absence. So another Pro Bowler is back on that Colts offensive line, and they've been dogs since they came in the league. That offensive line has been one of the best in the league. And it's been a huge, I mean, all credit to Jonathan Taylor. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about him in a little bit, but Jonathan Taylor is so lucky to have that offensive line on the board. I mean, you have Quentin Nelson, you have Ryan Kelly. Eric Fisher's kind of been so-so, but he's been there. Mark Lewinsky's been a staple as the other interior lineman. And I think this team, obviously you throw Braden Smith in there as well, who's a Pro Bowler as well. But this Colts offensive line paired with how good Jonathan Taylor really is, I mean, that is scary. And I don't know how the Patriots are going to be able to fare against that, because like you said, they haven't been able to face a guy like Jonathan Taylor, and they haven't really had to face an offensive line like the Colts. You put both of those together, and I don't know how you stop that.
Yeah, and I think that, look, the Patriots' run defense is good. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like it isn't. Like, they could very well hold Jonathan Taylor to a below-average day for him as a runner. I'm not going to rule that out, but I just want to see it. You know, I think many teams would struggle with Jonathan Taylor. How do the Patriots fix that? Like, I think many teams would it would come down to that question. Like, how do you deal with that? Well, you know, when you have Matthew Judon, Kyle Van Noy, and to some extent Dante Hightower, who hasn't been the player he once was this season, but still, you know, another linebacker you can throw in there. Juwan Bentley, who's actually played really well this season. Like, not to mention, you know, the interior defensive line, like Lawrence Guy, Christian Barmore, Devon Godshaw. Like, they have some really talented players up there. So it's going to be, I mean, we mentioned the head, it's just kind of stinks because a lot of the matchups, we're talking about this, we're mentioning it off the top of this podcast that, like, this matchup is so much better than it's being played up as. Like, this is going to be one of the most important games potentially in the entire AFC this year. It could shake the playoff picture. And we're talking about the things that headline, and it's like that headline this matchup and the reasons it should be being played up. And it's like, yeah, coaching. Yeah, the offensive line versus the defensive line. Like, and it's like, well, maybe this is why this isn't getting as much, like, national publicity, because it's like the reasons that this game is so good and so compelling is really just for, like, the hardcore football fans. It's not for the flashy reasons that would draw in a lot of casual fans. Like, this is going to be a game that's not necessarily about the star quarterbacks. You know, it's going to be about whose running game works and whose coaching is better. And yeah, Carson Wentz and Mac Jones will come into play, but these teams don't really rely on those guys as much as they rely on the rest of their teams. Nevertheless, like, it's going to be a great matchup. And I think that, you know, that people should be focusing on it more if you just love football.
Yeah, I mean, when this matchup is going to be really good. Obviously, you're a Patriots fan, a Colts fan, so obviously this matchup is important for us and all the people who are in those two communities. But then when you kind of back out and look at it, exactly like you said, the biggest stories is who's going to stop Jonathan Taylor, who's going to stop this, you know, power runner, you know, who's going to stop Quentin Nelson pancaking people and all these different things, scheme fits and all this boring football stuff that really only appeals to a small group of football fans. And you compare it to a matchup like what's going on now, which is Chiefs-Chargers going on tonight for Thursday Night Football, which is the exact opposite, where you have two star quarterbacks gunslinging all over the field, throwing to their speedy wide receivers. And this is just some big, you know, matchup to draw in fans. Then this Patriots-Colts matchup is pretty much the opposite. But nevertheless, this is still going to be a great game to watch. I mean, I don't think there's many people who would pass up the opportunity to watch Jonathan Taylor, and I don't think there's a lot of people who would really pass up the opportunity to watch the Patriots be incredibly efficient at football, because who does not want to watch good football?
Yeah, and that worked out. I know that It's Gear shouted It's Gear watching the chat. I know he shouted out the graphics we had here. It worked out. We didn't plan it, but, like, you had a more blue in your background and I had the red, with the Patriots thing and everything, so we didn't plan that either, but it happened to work out that way, so very nice. I wanted to ask you too, we'll just end it off here as we let people go enjoy Thursday Night Football, but how do you feel about the Saturday game? Like, is that something you like, or is it like, it just kind of throws me off a little bit?
You know, it's funny because I was talking to my dad about this, because he used to be a Giants fan forever. He was born and raised in New York, so obviously he grew up loving the Giants, but he kind of fell off with football in the early 2000s, and as I started getting older, I'm like, well, I really like this Colts team. This guy with the big forehead, that's kind of my team. And so we kind of bonded on that. And so he's kind of been a Colts fan for, you know, probably close to 10 years now. It's probably since Andrew Luck got in the league when I really started getting into it. So he's been on board with this team as much as I have. And he came to me a couple of weeks ago when I told him, oh, you know, the Patriots-Colts game got flexed. He's like, oh, finally, they're going to be on Sunday Night Football. I'm like, yeah, see, Dad, here's the thing. Yeah, so they're on Saturday, and they're going to be on NFL Network. And he's like, why are they on Saturday? I'm like, just it's prime time. Just have fun with it. About the Saturday games, I don't know if I like it. It's weird because, again, for me, college football is on Saturday and NFL is on Sunday. But to watch my team in prime time at 8:15 when there's no game, no really other games going on. I know there's a couple. I think there's one other game going on Saturday as well. Right. But to see Browns. My team play on prime time. Exactly.
It's the Browns game. But is it going on Saturday? You know, we think so. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see about that one. But, you know, for me, it's like, is the Saturday game a badge of honor? No, maybe not. Like, you know, I don't think it's a badge of honor necessarily. It's not like Sunday Night Football, like your dad was saying, or anything like that. But to me, the Saturday game is just, it's extra football. It's an extra day to have football, which I always think is a good thing. They always throw it in at the end of the season. Like, do I love that my team's playing in it? No, not necessarily. Like, it's not more about that. To me, it's just like, yeah, I like the random Saturday game in there. Yeah, throw me a Saturday game. Like, I really love it, honestly. In the playoffs, you know, in the regular season, is it needed? Not as much. But when you're talking about in the playoffs, when you get that, you get to focus on just the one game at a time and everybody's watching it. And it's perfect because the NFL just schedules it out where they know that everybody's eyeballs are going to be able to watch every single game, and it works. And it all works. So I love that element of it. And I think it's perfect for the postseason. In the regular season, do you need it? No, but like, sure, give me a little taste of Saturday football. Get me used to it. You know, I know you mentioned the college football, but like, give me some professionals, some NFL football on a Saturday. Give me a feel for it. And then like, when we get the playoffs, I'm ready. You know, so I don't care that it's the Patriots. I don't care if it is the Patriots or not. Like, to me, would I rather the Patriots be playing on Sunday? I don't know. It worked out with my schedule. I'm flying out on Sunday, so it works out better that they're playing on Saturday as it works out this week. So I guess this is all to say that this week I'm happy about it because it works with my schedule. But generally speaking, like, I don't know, whether it's the Patriots or someone else, like, yeah, give me a Saturday football game. I always like it's just a random thing to throw in there. I like that. I like when they throw me the London game at 9 a.m. You know, that's always a good one.
I was going to bring it up that – I'd much rather have a Saturday game than a London game. I can't deal with the London games for me because it's always the Jaguars and the Falcons and the Jets. And okay. It's like, I don't want to watch my team play against the Jaguars or the Falcons or the Jets. I'm sorry. It's just not what I'm trying to do at 9:30 on a Sunday.
It is interesting because it is like, I like the London game because it's just like you wake up and it's like football's on. It's like, let's go. And I understand that's the way it's always is on the West Coast. But like us East Coasters, like we don't get that too often.
We need
so it's like, yeah, we just
that.
Wake up and hey, football's going. Let's go. It does kind of stink that it's always the Jaguars, but you know, you take what you can get. It's one game. You don't have to watch it. It's just kind of happening. The only bad thing about it to me, and it doesn't necessarily affect me too much, but it's for the fantasy people that don't check their lineup. And you know what? If you don't check your lineup before 9 a.m. on a fantasy football Sunday, because you slept in, like, you're not taking fantasy football seriously enough, all right?
Here's the thing. I'll give one little pass for those on the West Coast because if they have a London game, it's at 6:30 in the morning. I guess I can give you a pass, but still, if you're committed to winning the championship.
I'll give you a pass if the player was a last-minute injury decision, okay? But
if it's a game-time decision.
It happens that, like, this guy's been doubtful or out for, like, 2 days, and you're like, oh, my lineup, like, I don't care. You know, you messed up, dude. You should have changed it 2 days ago. Sorry, like, especially if it's the West Coast. But otherwise, like, it's your own fault. All right, I think we're going to get out of here. I guess, why not? I didn't plan this, but real quick while we're wrapping things up, let's do a score prediction. So Brandon, give me your score prediction for Saturday night, prime time, as you mentioned it. Patriots-Colts, who's going to take it?
Prime time on NFL Network, 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shameless plug for the NFL Network. I would love to lean for the sake of Guy Boston Sports, I would love to lean Patriots. But again, no biases pulling me on the other way. But I think it's going to be close. I think the Colts take it 24-21.
Okay, 24-21. That's a fair score prediction. The line is Colts minus 2.5. So that would be right in line with what Vegas is predicting. And I think that that's honestly pretty fair. Like, it's basically on a neutral field. The Patriots are a half point better than the Colts. And I think that's roughly what it is. I think these teams are very similar in a lot of ways, as we mentioned. Run defense, running game, quarterback that's about at the same level across the league. Good offensive lines on both sides. Like, both sides. We mentioned the Colts offensive line. Patriots aren't too shabby on that O-line either. So they're both really good. So I think that we're both well coached, obviously. So I think they are truly very similar. You know, it's just tough. And to me, the thing I've been struggling with the most over the past few weeks picking Patriots games is I'm just expecting the bubble to pop on the winning streak. Like, how many more games can they possibly win in a row? But I'll try to take that out of it. If you're just telling me Patriots, Colts, what am I going to pick? The Colts haven't won in 12 years. You know, I think Bill Belichick is going to probably want a little bit of revenge against Frank Reich. I think he's going to come up with something to prove. Bobby Okereke gave him bulletin board material. That was a bad choice.
Can't do that, bro.
So I'm going to go ahead and say Patriots 31-21, and Carson Wentz probably has a few more Teddy Bruschi moments in there, unfortunately. Great. But, you know, I think that the Colts offense is at least going to put up in the 20s, and you're going to have to score to win this game, because that offense has shown that they're really, really good. Like, have you even been surprised how well the offense has been playing, especially as of late?
I mean, at this rate, I mean, honestly, no. I mean, they're the third highest scoring offense in the league, and that spans back to week one. That's not just since week four or week five when the Colts started winning. That's even when they were losing games to start the year. They were still one of the better offenses in the league. They trail only the Bucs and the Cowboys in total points scored per game. Yeah. I mean, this Colts team can score. The problem, and not to get too much off of a tangent because I want to get people out of here, I'm not sold on our defense. I'm not sold on this Colts defense to consistently play a good football game. They're middle of the pack this year. In past years, they've been top 10. That was the reason why in 2018 they were able to make that playoff push, because their defense was so instrumental in helping the offense. But, you know, I guess when one thing gets better, one thing gets worse. So I am nervous for this defense, but this offense has looked very, very sharp, and I'm honestly not surprised as each game goes by.
And to that point, like, Jonathan Taylor deserves a lot of that credit. I think I might give more credit to that third in the league in scoring rank to Frank Reich. I honestly think I would. Like, I think that he's largely responsible for that. So it should be a great game, great offense versus a great defense. Again, both fundamentally sound football teams. Brandon, thank you for once again joining us and talking Patriots Colts. And thanks to all you guys in the chat for tuning in. But that's going to do it. We'll see you for Patriots post game. That's going to be a late one. I know it already feels late now, like at 9 p.m. And I'm going to be doing this at like midnight. But five hours before I have to fly out. I know we're ending, but let me just rant for a second. I have to come back to my apartment to watch this game and do the stream at nearly midnight. Then after midnight, I have to go, like, after I'm done, which is going to be 12:30, 1 a.m., I drive back to my girlfriend's house, go there before 2 a.m., I get, like, 2 hours to sleep, then I got to get up and go to my flight in Orlando because TSA wait times are out of control, and it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous.
So KJ.
I do it
for you. I got to ask. Who booked your flight?
I booked my flight.
Okay.
In my defense, I wasn't thinking about like, Patriots Colts Saturday. Like, I might have booked it before it was flexed, for all I know. Okay?
That's true.
So I don't know that it was necessarily my fault. I can't blame you for that. When it was flexed and when I booked it or whatever, okay?
You don't have those stats. It's okay.
I am very – anyway, it's going to be a crazy night for me. Hopefully I make my flight. Like, I was not going to let me miss it, thankfully. But anyway, once again, thank you guys for watching. Tune in for that post-game stream because I'm going through hell to make it happen. And we'll see you guys next time.